Well, we'll try not to keep us very long this afternoon, but I've got something on my mind, on my heart. I'd like to take our thought a little bit further. There's always just a little bit more. So I'd like to go back to a verse that we read this morning in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and the 25th verse. It said, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching." What does it mean to exhort? That's the thought I want us to examine this afternoon. I'll read you a definition that I got from the dictionary. Exhort means to encourage, to embolden, to cheer, to advise. Its primary sense or its primary purpose seems to be to excite or to give strength, spirit, or courage. So to exhort. Have you ever been exhorted? You can take that in many different areas or many different ways, but sometimes we have been exhorted in kind of abrupt manners and things that would cause us to feel chafed a little bit. Somebody exhorts us because they are trying to motivate us, excite us to be able to do something, perform something, and it's something we're very hesitant or resistant about. And sometimes we exhort as parents to children, and they don't like to be exhorted. You can, you will, you must, you have to. I'm depending on you. Lots of phrases that can be used in exhorting. But I want us to think about this afternoon the differences between a testimony and an exhortation. A testimony is something I'm pulling out of my box, my ark, my thing that I accumulate records in. That's a testimony. An exhortation is there's an objective. Maybe you want others to be able to have the same testimony. Others to be able to say, there's an expression of putting another feather in your hat. You know what that means? It means you've had the experience. There's a lot of feathers I don't have in my hat, but there's some that I do. And maybe it's you see that someone else is so close to being able to put that feather in your hat, in their hat. You know what I'm saying? And just a little exhortation. Maybe it's that nudge of, you know, you're at the age, I believe you can do that. You're responsible enough. You're capable enough. I observe this in you, so I believe you can do that. That's not a testimony. It's an exhortation because the one doing the exhorting has an objective in it. I could exhort parents that if you have a young man in your house that's 10 years old, and he's not cutting the grass, I would exhort you, get him cutting the grass. You know, it's high time. If you've got a young lady that's 10 years old and they can't make a meal, it's high time. We got to do a little pushing here. You know, don't wait until they're old enough to move out for them to assume a responsibility. So that's an exhortation. The testimony is that you're 10 and you can do it. You see the difference? An exhortation is encouraging someone, saying, look, you can reach the pedals, you can reach the handlebar, you know how to turn the knob on, you can read the instructions, you can read the cookbook, you can, whatever it is, you know where the measuring cups are, you know where the resources are. I'll be in the other room if you need some help. That's an exhortation. It's not a testimony. Okay? To exhort means to incite by words or advice. So I ask myself the question, how do I exhort someone else? An exhortation is different than an accusation. An accusation is putting someone down, putting others down, and maybe belittling them. You're how old and you can't? you're married and you don't do this? That can be an accusation. But an exhortation is taking someone's observable talents, observable capabilities, and encouraging them to maybe apply them a little differently. You ever seen someone that had lots of abilities and just hadn't had the opportunity to put them all together? Someone that maybe had physical strength. Someone that had hand and eye coordination. I had a man that was broke down, and this is years ago. I was working in Oklahoma, and he was involved in an occupation. I don't know exactly what he did, but he went to a lot of rodeos and roping and those kinds of things. And he was fascinated with, he was in a real rush. He had a pretty major problem, and he had an appointment to be at a certain place. And I was really making notches, as you so to speak. I was going in, and he come out and was watching me. And he asked me if I ever roped. No, I didn't. I maybe tie a knot, but as far as throwing a rope and, you know, those kind of things, I never done that. And he said, well, you've got the hand and eye coordination. That was what he thought. But I'd never been in a place where I needed to rope something. You know, so the point of it is, when we see someone that has, you know, they have this potential. An exhortation is something that just kind of gets them over the hump, so to speak. Just kind of nudges them in the direction. So we think about that. And I want to ask us, are we willing to exhort one another? Because that's what the verse I read was. Talked about not forsaking the assembling ourselves together. We come together as a group of people, different backgrounds, different experiences on a daily basis, and all those kind of things. We come together, and he says, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What are we going to exhort one another? I'm not going to exhort you to be a roper here, okay? I'm not going to exhort you to be a plumber here, or even a mechanic here, not from the back of this desk. But I want to exhort you. I want to exhort you to draw closer to the Lord. I want to exhort you to get some inventory in your resource pocket, spiritually speaking, I want to exhort you and move you to the point that you can come here with a testimony. I want you to be challenged to move up a little closer, to apply yourself a little better or a little more thoroughly, or that you've got something that's in your arsenal, in your inventory, in your testimony box, in your another feather in your hat, so to speak. Not talking about pride and arrogance and all of that. I just want capabilities here. And one of the purposes of us coming together, and it's not one person's job, because it says exhorting one another. That means I don't want to assign exhortation and go around the room, but I want us to all have that liberty to exhort one another. And it's not so much we call somebody by name, but exhort one another in a manner, give an exhortation. You know, I believe we're going to have some testimonies before we are able to exhort. But an exhortation has an objective, an end result in mind. And when I'm exhorting someone else, I should be pointing them to an objective that is realistic, that they can get a hold of. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and notice the 8th verse. Maybe reading above here just a little, starting in verse 5. So we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. He's talking about a spiritual body of people, a spiritual church, if you will. He says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that is teaching on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, that he that ruleth with diligence, and he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. There are going to be areas where we function in more than one capacity. But he says on he that exhorteth on exhortation. Take advantage of opportunities that come your way to exhort someone when the time's appropriate. So when's the appropriate time? If you're in a conversation and people are expressing doubt, and you look on and you think, they really shouldn't be doubting. God has more power than that. You can be victorious. You can accomplish. You can do those things. Then I believe exhortations can be in order. He that exhorteth on exhortation. This, in our break time, because Brother Mark does drywall work, he's very much cognizant of things that need drywall work, repair. He observed a crack in our drywall in the building here that I didn't know it was there. I think I'm a pretty observant person, but I didn't see this one. And he says, when you're doing another project that we've talked about doing, he said, let me know and I'll fix that up there. Okay? He saw it. I didn't. What did he just do? He capitalized on something that was observable to him. He gave us a little exhortation here. We need to... That something needs to be fixed. We are not all going to see the same thing. We just don't. You know, there's times that all of us, when we look around, we just see different things, just because of who we are and what our background is and what our expertise is and all of that. But I want to challenge us to take advantage to encourage someone to make their life better. their experience with the Lord better, more intact, more connected. Because when we exhort one another, and I've heard this expression, there's one person in particular that no one here knows except for me, and it's not original to him, but he has this thing that he repeats a lot, and he says, a rising tide raises all ships. Well, it's true. If the tide is going up, all of the boats are going up too. And when we endeavor to exhort where we can exhort, then what's going to happen is we're going to help one another get closer to the Lord. Maybe you don't have a big exhortation during the service, and maybe it's afterwards. Maybe it's on the way out to the car. Maybe it's in the kitchen. Or maybe it's somewhere else. I'm not encouraging us to be less than tactful, but I just want to challenge us to exercise exhortation instead of keeping things to ourselves. You ever worked with a group of people like that? Maybe they could see somebody else fixing to really make a bad mistake on the job. And instead of saying, hold on a minute, let me tell you an experience I had. You know, you take that bolt out, there's something going to fall down on the inside. You're going to be in trouble. Don't let them find out for themselves if you can help them. Why should we be any different here at church? Why should we be any different in our spiritual walk? Well, hold on a minute. What was you fixing? I overheard you saying, I got a little input. I'm not trying to be confusing there. I'm just trying to, you know how it is. We there's a passing thought. And we overhear it as we're driving by, so to speak. You know, I wonder if they know about this. I wonder if they know what happens when you make that financial decision. Or make that emotional decision, that decision that's going to impact other decisions. Maybe it's time to give a little exhortation. Now that I'm at the age I am, I can say very easily, I was old, I was young, and now I'm old. I can tell you something about being young. I can't really tell you a whole lot about being old, but I'm telling you I'm getting there. But I can tell you something about being young. I can give you a little exhortation about what it means to be a young man. I know what it's like to be young and unmarried. I know what it's like to be young and married. I know those kind of things. Maybe I'm not an expert, but I've had some experiences. And there may be times that I could give a little exhortation. And I think it's very, it behooves us. It's foolish of us not to. But it behooves us to take on that response. Lord, if I can be a little bit of an exhortation and help somebody avoid a pitfall, avoid a catastrophe, Lord, I want to do that. Let's go to Galatians, the 4th chapter. And notice, you know, I've got a lot of good out of the 4th chapter of Galatians over the years for myself. And I'd like to read just a couple verses here to us. Let's go to Galatians, the 4th chapter. In the 16th verse beginning, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. There's a lot of impact going on around us. There's people that'll tell you stuff. You want to hear about a conspiracy theory? There's somebody out there to tell you one. There's a lot of negative stuff circulating in our world today. And he says here, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. It's good to be aware and to be alert and be willing to exhort one another. We're supposed to remember the scripture we started with. It's good to come together. Don't forsake that. But when you hear, don't just take up space. We want to be faithful. We want to gain ground this year. So don't just take up space and warm the bench and look like we're conforming. No, there's more to it than that. This is part of gaining more ground this year. It said it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not only when I'm present with you. You know, it's important for us to make progress when others aren't watching. And how do we do that? It's because we go and we take what we've been exhorted on and we start putting some of it in practice. We start implementing some of the things that maybe we've been exhorted on. Maybe we heard someone say, you know, if you go ahead and get up at the normal time on the weekend, then you could get whatever it is, something else done. You could make some progress in whatever kind of project that you can't seem to make any headway on. If you just go ahead and get up at your normal time. Now, if you're somebody that has to get up at 4 in the morning, I'm not exhorting you to get up at 4 on Saturday, but sometimes, especially the older we get, it's like whatever time we wake up in the day and during the week, it's like, okay, I might as well get up. You know, it's that time. But if you get up at a reasonable, respectable time during the week, then why not do it on Saturday? You know, that's an exhortation. I just gave you one. Oh, just think of what Saturday could be if you went ahead and treated it kind of like a work day, but no, I'm not going for a paycheck. I'm trying to do something for myself, for my family, for the good. What if you got up, you know, all those times you get up and you feel like you don't have time to read the scripture or to pray before you go to work? What if you went ahead and got up at the normal time and it's like, you know, I don't really have to punch the clock or I don't really have to be at a certain time. What if I just took the time to get a little bit of the word in my head? You know, that's an exhortation. You know, I used to work for a man in Oklahoma. He was my service manager. And he had an expression that he would use. He'd come to me sometimes, especially if it was at the end of the day or the end of the week and the end of the day. He'd say, I've got this customer. They're going to grandma's funeral or whatever the emergency was. And you know, if we need to rob a part off of a new truck or a new car out there on the lot, we can do it to get them going, but they would really appreciate it if somebody would stay. And then he would say, the time to see the elephants is when the circus is in town. That's what he would say. You know, if we're not exhorted to take advantage of our time and we while our time away, then we'll never gain. We'll come up to December 31st, 2025, and we'll look back and say, well, I'm just about where I was last year. But I'm exhorting us to be different than that. So when we come to the end of 2025, we can look back and say, you know, I was really kind of ups and downs. I was really kind of unsettled a year ago, but with God's help, I've really made some progress. I've really gained some territory that's mine now. I've got a testimony about the things that I've conquered in my own life. I've gained some, the Lord has done, so, you know, there was things I didn't see before that I can see now. That, remember the story I read this morning? The man said, I can just tell you that I used to be blind and now I'm not. And I believe we can get to the end of this year and there can be things that we're kind of blind on right now. And at the end of the year, we can say, I can see that now. I understand. That's my exhortation. That's my opportunity to nudge you in the direction. Apply yourself. When we apply ourselves, he says here, it's good to be zealously affected always. Some days you don't feel like it. Some days, well, I'll tell you what happened to me this morning. A guy contacted me, just a message, and said he was interested in something I'd posted for sale. And I said, sure. I said, it was early, about 6:30 this morning. And I said, I'm going to be leaving for church about 8:45. And then I probably won't be back till maybe 5 o'clock. I said, you either come before or wait till 5. He said, I'll wait till 5. And then he said, I'll be there before. And he didn't show. And he didn't answer. I asked him when he's going to get there. He didn't answer. So I sent a text to my neighbors. And I said, I kind of gave him just a little brief thing. That I said, this fella, I gave him my address after he said he was coming. I don't know who this is. He's supposed to show up. I'm just letting you know, if you see something look suspicious, it really might be. So I come to church, and I sent him a message on the way that said, if you show up at my house, just remember the neighbors are watching. I'm just letting him know. Neighbor called me, and he said, I've been laying in bed. Said, kind of not being motivated to get up. And he said, you know, I don't like people prowling around. He said, I'll get out and do my chores. And he said, I'll run down by your house here in a minute. My inadvertent message to him motivated him. So would you take my little exhortation this afternoon to be exhorted, to be challenged? Don't lay in the bed when you don't have to. If you're sick, I understand. Let's move. Be zealously affected. There's going to be times you just don't feel like it. We've got a responsibility. We've got ground we need to conquer. We need areas that we need more victories in. I don't know about you, but I want some more testimonies this year. I want some more victories. I want some things to look back on this year and say, hitherto hath the Lord helped me. The Lord's brought me through something. He's given me a victory. And I want to apply myself like I mean it, where the Lord can bless that and give me some of the answers that I need. And I want to be in a place that He can bless me. So that's what I have this afternoon. And I want you to be zealously affected always. And a good thing, not only when you're present here, but when you're at home, when you're by yourself, when you can choose to listen to something else, listen to something good, listen to something that's motivating, get a hold of something that God can use to edify His cause and to lift your spirit and your heart up to Him. Don't allow your mind to just aimlessly go to the gutter. But let Him help you get a hold and direct it in the right path. You pray for me.